from the sincerity of the people and the consistency of their stories, because the technology that they're describing is extremely high. And I'll give you some of the notes that I received mm-hmm. from Billy.
Well, I've been impressed with the quality of the information that Billy passes on, and I've been reading that since 1978 now, so yeah. I've been very, very close to that. In fact, my very first open mind show was with Billy Meyer. And at that time, there were a lot of really off-the-wall pieces of information that were flowing out of Switzerland. And as we look back over the last 7 years, so much of it has come to fruition that it now becomes more than a coincidence and more than imaginative. It has to be dealt with on a very, very serious basis.
Well, Billy Meyer gets his information by telenosis. Telenosis is a high-frequency communication of intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
He's visited by aliens, and they tell him all the news and all the gossip that's going on in space. Which is a story unto itself. It's very entertaining and very interesting.
You mean that there are gossipy things going on in space?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, the gods have nothing to do but chat about each other.
We don't want to get into that. I'm having trouble with my neighbors. Don't get me involved with the gods.
Well, I'd like to tell you some of the things that these aliens are discussing. And
right.
Remember, these are the aliens who brought you the planets past Pluto and brought you the moons past Jupiter.
I want you people from the National Enquirer and Globe to listen very carefully. Gossip column from space.
Okay, his intelligence is brought by a fellow called Quetzal. He's a bearded alien, looks like any other human. You'd pass him on the street without taking special notice.
He's a nice man.
And his report has been going on since 78. So there's now 20 volumes of conversation that's recorded, and I've had the privilege of seeing it. It's very exciting. It touches on any a subject of interest to modern man, all of it. And I'd like to inform you of what
is that available?
No. It's private.
Private information right now?
It's not available only because they haven't done anything with it, but I'd like to have it translated and published, and I think I can do it.
It's in German right now, right?
Yes, it's in German.
If you read German, would it be available?
No.
Still private.
It's just a collection of notes in
the museum. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Oh, yeah, bits and pieces come out. I have the published book here, UFO from the Pleiades. That's a book describing the basic contacts. And in the book it says, well, there's many more conversations in his private notes. And that got me so excited that I just got on a plane and went to see Billy Meyer and read all the private conversations. And let me tell you, I was very, very much impressed and very excited. It starts off by saying that the aliens have kept records of their contacts with humans, and there have been 3,110 contacts. And they've been an ongoing thing for many numbers of years, decades. Among the contactees, there was the list, were names like Einstein.
Mm-hmm. He said so.
Albert Schweitzer.
He said so.
And Barney Hill.
He did say so.
James McDonald, the astrophysicist in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not talking.
No, he's passed on.
That's what I mean.
And I have many, many names. I'd rather not reveal them because those names should tell the story from our departed contacts. And the aliens are saying that all the creative gifts of Einstein in physics were imparted by them. They're taking credit for educating the human race by mental telepathy. They do it by implanting the thought by telenosis. And they don't have direct contact with the scientist. The scientist just gets a surge of creative ability and he publishes it. But
Are they taking credit for the fact that Einstein has been proven wrong here in the last 2 years on a number of cases?
Yes, they say that you have to go through, in science, you have to go through an evolution of step-by-step learning and then ever-correcting the record and improving on it. But for what he learned at his time...
He was ahead of his time.
It did the purpose. It served the purpose.
May I serve a purpose right here? And then we'll get back to your purpose in just a moment. My guest is Edwin Slade. We're talking about UFOs, friends in space.
Well, glossing over the details, the prime message is that the Earth is in great danger of annihilation, and they say this very seriously, that their position is that they are space brothers to us, and that they are here to help, and they are here to educate the mentality of the world and to avoid annihilation. And annihilation is imminent according to all of the contacts I've spoken to throughout the world.
Well, I have a question. I know that I'm asked it an awful lot. And we hear that similar message quite often. That being the case, and they being obviously as advanced as they are to be here, why do they take the most inefficient route of communicating that a person could imagine?
Well, I think I understand why. They've tried to communicate from the top down, and it doesn't work. Back in 1952, Eisenhower was president. We did a program on that. There was a direct meeting between the aliens and Eisenhower, and they did a demonstration for him at Muroc Air Force Base, and they made their UFOs become visible and invisible, and Eisenhower wanted to rush right to the microphone and tell everybody about it, and he was stopped. And he was stopped by the CIA and the NSA and the security people, who said this is too big to just blab out about it. And the communication from the top was censored. Back in the 50s, around 52. And on my program last time, I read quotations from George C. Marshall and MacArthur, General MacArthur,
right,
that spoke out as to the real importance of the aliens and the UFOs.
I think it's important to emphasize that again, Edward. We have the documents from George C. Marshall, who was the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, certainly saying that the aliens were here, expressing a great deal of concern about them, official government documents.
Well, they were true patriots, as it turns out,
yeah,
because never again was a high-ranking general or Joint Chiefs of Staff ever to say anything
again.
Anything again.
Douglas MacArthur, General Douglas MacArthur, also knew that the aliens were here, talked about it openly. His memoranda, official memoranda, are available to the public.
Yes.
And we're not talking about a couple of featherweights here. We're talking about some very important personalities in the annals of American history. When the government was talking freely about the flying saucer epidemic up until epidemic flaps in the mid-50s. And then all at once the lid came down and it's finally beginning to open up again. Let's take one quick call that we have a chance for before we take a break from the news. I think this is Quasar. Hello there.
Hello. I want to know if you know anything about something called Project Blue Book, and then all of a sudden the government terminated it.
Well, it never did amount to anything, but go ahead, yeah. But...
Well, Project Blue Book started as a noble effort to... It evolved from Project Grudge, and it collected UFO sightings from the public. And it was housed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, and when the reports got up to about 100,000, and it was clear as a bell, the project was canceled to the public, and the records were transferred to Huntsville, Alabama, where they are now. And they've de-emphasized all these reports publicly, but maintaining a very, very high budget and very high awareness within the military as to these records.
Yeah, and is there an address you can write to find out more about UFOs?
Well,
there are many of them.
I suggest that you get a copy of The Clear Intent by Larry Fawcett and Barry J. Greenwood. That's
Larry may call in tonight.
It's published by Prentice Hall, and it was it's a recent book, and it gives all the addresses of all the agencies handling these censored reports, which can be gotten by Freedom of Information.
And tells you how to get your own, as far as that goes, on it.
Okay.
Clear Intent is published by Prentice Hall. I think it's available at most bookstores around, or at least they can get it for you. And Larry Fawcett is a very skilled investigator with MUFON and some of the other organizations which are deeply involved in trying to bring to the surface this very, very vital information that the American people should have. Thank you very much for your question, Quasar, but Project Blue Book is old hat. It's down the tubes, didn't accomplish much other than gather data that over 100,000 American citizens had very real experiences with something extremely unusual, which the government went on to say was not domestic, was not foreign, it was unnatural. That is a Freedom of Information document from the Air Force. So we have to deal with that, don't we? I'm Bill Jenkins. It's open.
Happy Celebration 25.
Well, we're back to hour two of Open Mind, a little bit past the 10 o'clock mark. My guest tonight is Edwin Slade. Edwin has been involved in a lot of the goings-on of the federal government for many, many years in ways we can't even get into here tonight. He is the chairman of the board of the Laser Arms Corporation of Las Vegas, a little firm that does a little thing like providing our fighters with their laser sighting systems, and our SWAT teams are using your stuff, too. He knows his way around the world of science. He knows his way around government. He knows his way around the world. And he's been to places that you wouldn't believe. He is a scholar. He's not going to be taken in by mysticism and baloney. And we're talking about the UFO, which Edwin is telling me that he's quite convinced is around. And has done a lot of personal research on that, using his own resources and, of course, his great curiosity to check into it further. And we have to tip our hats to men like Ed, who will take time from a very busy and lucrative lifestyle to delve into this. What are some of the things we're learning from the aliens, Edwin?
Well, to give the alien story and just head on, take it for what it is, this is an uncensored report of Quetzal coming in from the planet Era, E-R-R-A, which is located in the Pleiades. The Pleiades is the seven sisters in the sky, the constellation.
It's a star cluster about 500 light years away that rides right outside of the fringes.
420, to be exact.
Right outside of the fringes of the Milky Way galaxy.
Yes.
It's a very unique star cluster in that all of the stars there are new stars.
Yes.
They shouldn't support a planetary system, except that you will find some red dwarf stars in there. As we look at it carefully, and they would only be that way unless they were in tandem with each other or supporting a system of planets.
Well, and Quetzal says that he arrives to Earth in 7.5 minutes from a planet 420 miles away.
420 light years away.
420 light years.
He's broken down the time-space continuum.
He gets right over, and in support of his claims, he doesn't take a sandwich. He just comes right over. And there's no food on board because Billy Meyer's been in there, and they just come right over like you would get in your car and go around the corner.
Go down to Lafitte.
Yeah. Now, that's the most unbelievable thing. And delving into their technology, I find that their technology is supported by articles like this on quantum gravity, an article that appeared in Scientific American, where they talk about gravity and magnetism and time, where you can distort the space-time continuum and go backwards and forwards in time. Now, this is an article by Bryce DeWitt in a recent Scientific American, and it's the kind of technology that the aliens have been talking about for 20 years. Well, it's finally got into Scientific American, and now scientists will consider it.
Well, out of, you know, a lot of what we're looking at now, they don't know anything about it at Caltech, I suppose, yet, but there's a new science called gravity engineering. So they're engineering gravity to do some incredible things, and I have seen some of the experiments. which are quite mind-boggling.
Well, this is their story. They come from the Pleiades, and they've come to Earth for thousands of years. In fact, when they come here, they go to a small town in Switzerland, which is called Les Pleiades. And Les Pleiades has been the ancient name for thousands of years on Earth. That is the community that they're most comfortable in. It's similar in terrain to their home planet on Era.
That's why they choose it.
Yes, mountainous, just like Switzerland, and they choose that planet to come here when they are colonists. And they dress like humans, they speak like humans, and they act like humans, and you wouldn't know that they're not.
But don't mess with the men.
Well, this is very, very startling. Now, up until the beginning of this year, there was 100 aliens located and operating out of Pleiades in Switzerland. 100 aliens from this mission from the planet Era.
Mm-hmm.
And in January, they sent 94 back. There are 6 aliens remaining behind. The reason they went back is they've given up on Earthlings. They were here for a number of years, and they absolutely could not get the desired results for Earthlings to change their ways.
They read the newspaper too much.
And it forebodes a very, very great disaster ahead.
Did they go back or just move their base of operations? I've heard both ways.
Well, they always keep a base here for observation, but they sent a real strike force because they're trying to change men's minds. Now, you understand, we have to give the readers and the listeners some background on space politics. The Pleiadians...
That's different.
...are a member of the Galaxy Federation. There are 5,000 civilizations that are members. That's 5,000 inhabited planets in our Milky Way. And they have a base on Andromeda. And they say that all motions to and from the planets have to be cleared from the headquarters in Andromeda. And
that's the next major galaxy to ours.
Well, that's in the belt of Orion. You could see that with the naked eye.
Mm-hmm, but, I mean, it's way outside the Milky Way. It's the next major galaxy. In fact, it's larger than ours. It's a spiral galaxy somewhat like ours. The Magellan Cloud is between here and there.
Well, the Pleiadians say that they've lived in peace for 350,000 years. And they're very disturbed with the frequency of war on Earth.
There's only 35 of them going on right now.
Well, war is a definite no-no, because when you get to be a Pleiadian, you use persuasion. Persuasion's fair, and war is evil. And that is why the Pleiadians are here to persuade. And the art of persuasion goes back once again to the Bible. They've informed men who've been conversant with the Pleiadians that the original political upheaval was caused in the creation of man. Man, according to them, was created 350,000 years ago because they were looking for helpers to mine minerals on this planet. And
they weren't created necessarily by the Pleiadians, were they?
Well, some men were created by the Pleiadians.
Mm-hmm.
But the controversy goes back to the two forces, the forces of God, which is the Jehovah branch, and they were in favor of free will among men, that men were to be created with their own locus of free will. And there was another branch, the satanic branch, which was in favor of making men subservient and robots to do every command faithfully that was given. So then if you had a robot...
They seem to be winning right now.
If you had a robot, you just pre-program him with his Ten Commandments, and you'd say, wasn't that easy? Now all men are good.
Mm-hmm.
But Jehovah didn't want it that way. Because this conversation, by the way, has been carried on for 8 years in great detail. And I've been privy to the intellectual argument. The argument has always been that Jehovah, when he created mankind, wanted mankind's love. And he would not take a robot-type love.
Whenever you're speaking of Jehovah now, are you talking about the creator of the universe, or are you talking about something else?
Well, that's interesting. I'm talking about Jehovah, and Jehovah is known to Quetzal. We asked him, Jehovah. He said, oh, yes, I know him. He's a strange guy. Jehovah, according to Quetzal, is responsible for all the creations going on and is the author of the Bible. However, Jehovah has a brother who spells his name exactly the same way but pronounces it differently. Jehovah is a very cruel, mean, revengeful God. And his brother, which pronounces his name Ishvich, it's Y-H-W-H is the way they both spell their names. But as you know, in Aramaic, you don't use vowels, you just use the letters. They both had the same name, and they both spell their name exactly the same, but pronounce it differently. And in the Bible, all the reference to Jehovah, which are cruel and mean and vindictive, apply to Jehovah as we know him. And all the references where YHWH was a kind and loving God, that's his brother. Now, this is a piece of insight given to us by the aliens. I don't think anybody could make it up.
If you've gone through the history as we look at it in the Bible, we do see a schizophrenic personality here in Jehovah. At one time, kind, loving, and all of those wonderful things, and at another time, revengeful, spiteful, and vengeful.
Well, if you want to hear a little gossip of what the gods think of each other, and, you know, this is a characteristic of godly gossip going back to the Greeks, and in those times, they always had tales among the palace gossip. Jehovah is a very demanding, authoritarian figure. Quetzal even drew a picture for Billy Meyer, in which he's a man-like form, a medium height, black beard, long black beard. He wears a robe to the floor, and he's very stern, stern-looking. And that's Jehovah. I saw the picture. It's
where does he headquarter?
This is interesting. Jehovah has not been seen for thousands of years. Quetzal said he's hiding deep in the universe. He is absolutely not to be found for interrogation these days. However,
is that the good one or the odd one?
That's the evil one.
Oh, the evil one, yeah.
And he's a very difficult guy, and as far as the aliens are concerned, he makes rules, like rules that are very difficult to fulfill.
Where's the good one?
Well, Ishvich is in the Pleiades.
In the Pleiades.
Now, here's what's happening. Jehovah is on his way back.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back from hiding in the universe, according to Quetzal.
The bad one.
Yes. And he's coming to fulfill his prophecy that 6 days shall thou work, and the seventh day you shall rest. Now, that's an old Sabbath admonition in the Bible. But in this case, the context is that a day in the life of the Lord is 1,000 years in the life of man. And that references put forward. Lindsay published a very great good book on called The Rapture, which goes into those predictions. But the key thing is that 6,000 years after God made his prediction, he's coming back to rest the land for one day. And that one day in the life of God is 1,000 years. So if you read the revelations in the Bible, the revelation is that in the end time, and this is just about 6,000 years after the Garden of Eden, he will have a judgment day. And this judgment day, will be a very sad day for all the evil people on Earth.
Maybe we ought to tell Congress about this and they'll kind of speed up Star Wars a little bit.
I don't think you have to tell Congress because Congress and the government know this story. This is not news to our government.
Uh-huh.
This is old news to our government. And it's old news to our government because the aliens have told us that ever since 1952, they have been transporting Earthlings to the moon and then on to Mars in UFOs. That the UFOs have made pacts with the federal government in 1952 of the highest secrecy. And that the forces of this country have identified the excellent scientists and the excellent authors and the excellent thinkers, and they have proposed to them that they go to the outer territory and colonize it, and they've gladly accepted.
Doesn't it make you feel bad that you and I are still here?
Well, now that's the question, but everybody has their purpose.
Now, you know, Edwin, when you say things like that...
Yes, I know.
Where the source you're getting this now is... Well, whenever you say that the government has entered into some sort of an arrangement that goes back to 1952, how do you back that up? Now, I know that you weren't there when the arrangement was made. So, if that's the hypothesis that this arrangement was made, which you can't prove, what is it that can give you some validity to say that this may have been going on anyway? Missing people?
Well, I call your attention to other authors who've independently come to that conclusion.
Leslie Watkins is certainly one who wrote
Alternative 3.
Leslie's been on the show a couple of times.
Yes, I have Leslie Watkins' book here. And his contention is that since 52, Mars has been inhabited by Earthlings. And it's a large number of people now, up in the millions. It's been going on since 52.
I think it's very interesting. We've done a number of shows here on KABC, particularly with my good friend and colleague Michael Jackson, where there are up to 1 million of our children that are missing.
Well, I called the Center for Missing Children in Washington just before I got on the air, and I hate to tell you that it's much larger than that. If you think it's 1 million, then you're way behind, because the facts that are coming out of Washington is there is 1 million children this year that have been missing, plus 750,000 that are abducted by one parent or the other. That's 1.75 million. And in addition to that, there's another 20,000 absolutely unexplained abductions, which are totally mysterious. So that the hardcore missing children is at least 20,000. And I maintain that these 20,000 children are being captured by extraterrestrial forces as a benign interference in our lives, because those children are being colonized and saved.
Elsewhere. Fascinating stuff, Edwin. You want to hold on to your thought for just a second while we take a break? I'm Bill Jenkins. It's out past the 10 o'clock. Mark, Saturday night, I'm Bill Jenkins. With me, Edwin Slade, who's chairman of the board of the Laser Arms Corporation of Las Vegas, who has been deeply involved in a lot of activities for the government, certainly involved in the ongoing research into the reality of the UFO or the alien in Earth space, alien intervention into our government and into our lives, into our society and civilization. And let me give you some numbers if you want to talk to Edwin. We may have a few guest callers in here tonight, Larry Fawcett being one, who wrote one of the really fine books on what's happening with the UFO investigation, how the government has been covering it up, but how the government is now talking about the fact that they are real. In Los Angeles, 520-TALK. All of our numbers end in talk, as you know. San Fernando Valley is 990. If you're out in Orange County, your number is 750. Burbank, Glendale, and Pasadena, 244. The San Gabriel Valley is 448. Down in the South Bay, you're 679. And if you're in Long Beach, San Pedro, Paramount, that area, 639-TALK. And let's talk flying saucers. And we have Chuck on the line. Hello, Chuck.
Hello, Bill.
How are you?
Your friend Chuck Ellery up in Monterey Bay.
Hello, Chuck Ellery. How's everything going with your show up there?
I just called to let you know that the Open Mind Show is on KMFO now up here. And
fantastic.
We would like to invite Edwin to be on our show up here.
Well, he doesn't mind going to Monterey Bay, I'm sure.
I just recently saw Colonel Wendell Stevens' tape on the Billy Meyer investigation, the five-year investigation, and I want to tell you, it was fascinating.
Fantastic.
Has Edwin seen that?
Yes, I have.
And we have a local distributor up here for it, but I'm trying to find out, is Genesis Publishing Company still in business?
Well, you can still get Volume 1 and Volume 2. Which are the square foot, very large color picture books.
Yeah.
Color picture books of the UFO sightings. And they're very dramatic. And while I was in Switzerland, I got some original photos that haven't been published that are even more dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
A gentleman who now owns that enterprise by the name of George Green, not to be confused with our own George Green,
right,
brought back some